this new day that God has given us, we'll thank Him. I was just thinking of this this topic that God was speaking to me about the imputed righteousness of Christ. When God made Adam and Eve, He wanted them to. He never wanted them to sin. He wanted them to rule and subdue the earth. That was the plan that God had when He first created Adam and Eve. And in the garden, He planted the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So God told them that they should not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they disobeyed God and they were deceived by the serpent and they ate from that tree. And after they sinned, they tried to hide from God. Like they tried to go into some like they sewed themselves leaves that covered them. They came to know that they are naked, because once they sinned, they got the knowledge of good and evil, and they came to know that they have sinned, and they try to cover themselves. So that covering that they had on them, that they tried on their own, that was the self-righteousness that they had. They covered themselves with that, their own righteousness. That leaves that were there, that was their own righteousness. God was expecting that they will just admit their fault before Him, because He is able to. God is definitely ready to forgive them, but they thought they could be acceptable by God only when they put on that leaves and cover themselves. So God asked Adam and Eve that whether they ate from the tree, they didn't directly say, yeah, we have eaten from the tree. They just put the blame on the other person. But still, God didn't leave them. God still covered them with the skin, with the animal skin. So that means that even when they sinned, God did not leave them. He still that skin that covered them was actually the righteousness of Christ. It's a type of the righteousness of Christ. Like in the New Testament, it is that God covered them. So their sin was there, it was covered, it couldn't be seen. So when we also come to God, when we sin, we don't have to cover ourselves. When we come openly to God, the Lord can cover us with His righteousness, and he can help us to stand, have a correct standing before God. So He always wants us to, whenever we sin, We don't have to hide ourselves, or as we sang that song, don't try to hide, because God loves people who openly admit their fault, and when God sees that heart of that heart that is open and ready to admit, then the Lord can work in that person's life. So after Adam sinned, we see that from that seed we all came out. So what happens is we also have the tendency to hide our sin and like be self-righteous. So when we first come to God, we have this feeling that we have to do something to be acceptable to God. That feeling is there. I have to do this good work. I have to do this something or the other. I have to do to, like, if you see the people of the world, they are all trying to do something or the other to just that. Their God will accept them, but God doesn't want our anything. He doesn't want any of our good deeds, because our good deeds are not acceptable to God. We should come as we are. Their heart should be opened, and admitting all our faults. When we come to God, that's the time when God can work in us. When we come to God with attitude that I have to do something, then God cannot accept us. So it says in one place in Isaiah 64, in the sixth verse, says that all have sinned, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment. So whatever good we do, it is not acceptable to God. Like, we have to come without, like, we, whatever righteous things we try to do before we are, before we, first when we come to God, we should come with a total openness and admitting that we are filthy. He wants us to admit that we are filthy. Then God can work in us, and He can accept us as we are. So this is one thing that, if you see the contrast between Adam and Eve, and the with the lost son in Luke 15, when we read the parable, there we see in the parable of the lost son, we see that in Luke 15. This is from 11th verse, the parable starts. So here Jesus, that lost, that son was, he went away from the father, and he went so much away that he started eating the swine. So he was, in 16th verse it written, he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods and swine that were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And then it says he came to his senses. And then it says that he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. He said, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So this is what God desires from me, from every one of us, that when we go far away from our father, still we know that lost son knew that his father will accept him when he comes back. He was not thinking that I have to do something. He just came and said, he just said, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. He didn't hide anything. And he even said, I am not even worthy to be called your son. This is the attitude that I need to have in my life. That when I come to God, I know whatever good I have, it's not acceptable to God. He will not accept it. I have to come as unworthy people. Like that nothing I do can accept, God can accept, but God wants me to be open and come with that unworthy attitude. If you see that that story of the thief on the cross who in the last moment was saved, he just said to Jesus that, remember me. He admitted his fault actually, and he said, remember me when you come to me, when you come to me in paradise. So there we see the thief on the cross. He has not done a single good deed. He was totally in sin. Like, he lived a life full of sin, but the last moment when he just admitted his fault, the moment he died, he went with Jesus to heaven, to paradise. So he was in heaven only because of one reason, that the righteousness of Christ was imputed, was put on his life, put on him, and that was the only thing that allowed him to get to heaven. So we need to remember this thing, that the foundation of our lives is to be believe that that's the foundation, that we don't become acceptable to God because of what we do, but because God has accepted us as we are, and the righteousness of Christ is put into account when we come to Him as we are. If we try to hide, then God cannot work in us. But if that's what has happened to the Pharisees, if you read in the Gospels, they knew everything. They knew the laws. They knew so many things. And even the people around considered them as very holy. And they had a very good external life. But they didn't know Jesus. That's the main problem. That they tried to justify themselves. They tried to look good before people, but God could not accept them, because the Son of Man, the one who gave life, that life that was in Christ, they didn't want. They just said they tried to kill him. That's the extreme state that they went to. So that's what God was telling me, that when we come to God, we should not come with a hypocritical attitude, that we come to Him as we are. We don't hide anything from Him. And then when we come like that, God can accept us. If you read the parable in Luke 18, the parable of the tax collector, and the Pharisee. From 9 onwards, here Jesus says one thing there, that he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. This is the attitude of a Pharisee, that he thinks himself to be righteous. He doesn't consider that Jesus is the one who makes me righteous. He thinks that he's done something good and God has accepted him. That is a wrong attitude, and that is why it says after that, that when we read that the Pharisee, when he prayed, he didn't pray to God, he prayed to himself. He showed whatever good he has. He was thanking God for what he has done. Like, I'm not like others, I've done this. I'm not like other people, I have not done this, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. He was even judging the tax collector. I fast twice a week. He was always trying to tell what all good he has done. He has done, fasted, he has paid tithes, and he has not done this sin. But it says that the tax collector even couldn't look into heaven. That's the condition that he came. He was so much aware of his own condition, and he didn't hide anything from God. And the tax collector is the one who went away home justified. So we know we cannot be justified by what we do. That's clear in this, that what we do is not justifies us. But when we come to Him and tell God, Lord, I am unworthy. Lord, be merciful to me. That's the time God accepted him. And God justifies us. So this is one thing that we need to remember, that when you read any of the epistles of Paul, he's always emphasizing on this thing, that we cannot be acceptable to God with what we do, our own righteousness and our own efforts. That is not going to be acceptable to God. If you read, many verses are there, like if you read in Romans 3, it says in 20th verse, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. So, when I come to him, he doesn't want me to, it says that with our own works, that the works of the law are what we do with our own efforts, we cannot be justified in his sight. So with our self-effort, when we do something, God will not accept it. That's very clear in this. So it's very clear that it's, if you read in the 21st verse, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And it says in 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. So this is what we need, that we put our faith in Christ. We put our faith that God will justify me, God will declare me righteous, that I believe that His righteousness will come into my account when I come to Him as I am. He will justify me, He will declare me righteous. His righteousness is on me. We should remember one thing, that in heaven, not a single person will be there in heaven who is, first thing, he is not forgiven of all his sin, and second thing is, the righteousness of Christ is on him. We cannot stand before God just with our sins forgiven. We need the righteousness of Christ to clothe us. If the righteousness of Christ is not clothing us, we will not be able to stand before God. That's why we have to come with that cloth. By faith, we need to we need to receive that righteousness that God has given us, and that is the only standing we have before God. After we have that foundation, on that foundation is what we work out our own salvation, and we overcome sin. But the foundation of everything is, Lord, I am unworthy, and I am only worthy for hell. And only one reason I am saved is because, Lord, you put your righteousness on my account, and you have forgiven all my sin and justified me. That's the only reason that I can stand before God. So that real heart, we should know that very well. We should never think that after some time, when we are Christians for some time, we sometimes feel that we can do it on our own. That's the time the Holy Spirit departs from us, and then we are in our flesh. Then we try to do something and many things to please God. But that's not God. What God wants, He wants that from the start, from the foundation, that His righteousness is that is with us. And then we trust God to work in our lives. We don't use our own strength to do anything, but that the righteousness of Christ is what helps us to do everything. It says in Romans 5, by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. So, when Adam sinned, that seed of sin has come into everyone. We all have sinned because Adam sinned. We all are in that bondage of sin. But when we receive from Christ by faith, it's written here very clearly that the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, He gives us freely that gift. That's when we start reigning in life. The power of sin loses, the sin loses power on our lives when we receive this gift by freely from God. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's written here that He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So Jesus never sinned even once, but for me, he became sin. He became a sacrifice for me. He took all my sin, and He became a sin for me. That is why, so that we might become righteousness of God in Him. So we become righteous because He took all our sin. He washed us and made us right before God. And His righteousness is, we receive His righteousness. In Galatians, when we read many places, it's raised that the Galatians, when they started off well, but after some time they tried to be justified by doing something. That's why Paul had to again tell them, if you read in Galatians 5:4, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law. That's a condition that they came to, that they didn't want Christ itself, because they were trying to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. So that's a very terrible state, that you don't have the grace of God. We don't have the grace of God. We are separate from Christ. Then there is no life. So that's the extreme that we can go to if we don't have the foundation. And then also forward, also we always live by depending on the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus said in one place that the branch has to abide in the tree. So if we don't abide in Him, then we will be lost. We will be cut off from the branch and we will dry. And then when once we dry, then we can still do many things and do fast, pray and try to be good and all. But that touch of the Holy Spirit is missing. That life is not, that we are not connected to Christ. We are severed from Him. And then whatever comes out is all dry and we know that we don't have that power in us. So we need to always desire, Lord, I want to constantly abide in You. I want to that fire that is from You, Lord, help me to abide in that. When we abide in Him, then the life that comes out is always like we don't have to take any effort. It automatically comes out. And then when we in many areas we see that when we abide in Him, then the life that comes out like it without any effort we can live with we can overcome sin in some areas when we trust in Him. Others it is such an effort to like not to get angry or not to, but when we put our trust in Him and we put our hope in Him, when He helps us, then we can overcome easily. Also, one thing is that if I'm trusting in my own righteousness, we can just see the pointer. Like, if I'm trusting my own righteousness, I will easily judge others who have failed. Like, I will think that I will have this attitude that I have done something with my own effort, and that that person cannot do it. So I think that I have done something. That attitude will come in me. But when I know that the only way I can live this life is only by trusting in Him, and I have sinned and I'm not acceptable to God because I trust in Him. That's the only way. Then I can never look down on anyone. That's the reason I look down on others, because I feel like I have done something with my own strength. But when I trust in Him and His grace, I will never look down on anyone. I will never despise or belittle someone, or like that attitude will not come in me. And also one more thing that we see, if we are really justified, we will have no condemnation in our lives, because His righteousness, I know that when I come to Him as I am, God accepts me and I am justified by Him and declared righteous. Then there is no place for condemnation. Even when I sin after I have God has accepted me, I know I'm still His son, and he will. It's not like when I sin once that I have lost the sonship. No, I am His son. But only thing that He desires is, Lord, I should know that I have been accepted by God, and then when I sin also, I can just come to Him back, and He will receive me again. We don't feel like we are disconnected when we sin immediately. We always have that boldness to come to Him. That is what happens when we really believe this. There is one song that was coming to me, the last para of the song. I think it's written by Charles Wesley. In these words are this, that it says, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus, all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own." So this is what was coming to my mind, that if I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ, I can boldly approach Him. There is no fear. Absolutely, fear is gone away from our life. And it's written that claim the crown through Christ my own. I can claim the crown because Christ has taken my sin. Christ has become my righteousness. It's everything is Christ. From beginning to end is Christ. I look unto Him from the beginning, from the time I'm born again till the end. It is Christ Himself who will do His work in us. Whenever we try to take the glory for ourselves, that's the time we will fall, and that's the time we will lose grace also. That's why we should always look unto Him for everything. He is our source of everything. That I don't any time in my life I don't feel like I have, it's because of me. No, it's all because of Christ. In heaven we see only one thing: worthy, worthy, worthy art You, Christ. Jesus is the only one who gets all the glory there. we are all, everyone is looking at Jesus. No one is looking at each other. Everyone's sight is on Jesus, and he is exalted everywhere in heaven. So that is the attitude I should have in my spirit always. From beginning, I should never, especially when we have this Pharisaical attitude, that time we need to really ask God to, Lord, reveal yourself to me so that I will know that you are everything to me, so that I will never ever trust in my own strength, that I will never take glory for myself in anything, that I will put my trust in him to finish this work in my life. That's the way he wants me to live every day of my life. So it's a great life that we can live if we always put our trust in him, and even when we fall, we can come to him and he will accept us as we are, and he will declare us righteous, and we can boldly approach him anytime. We are never discouraged. We are always hoping that he will complete the work he has started in lives, that faith is there in our hearts. Amen.
This word of justification which we heard today, I was looking back to my life. When I was born in a Christian family and after some time, after I grew up, and I fell into so many sins, and after I fell into sin, I couldn't come to Jesus. And this is one thing which came into my heart so real, so it's changed my life in such a manner that Jesus has accepted me. That word has really encouraged me and helped me all these years. I don't think that I could stand here without that, that Jesus is the one who has accepted me just as I am, because many times we know that we have tried with our own efforts, we have tried to go to God, we have tried to be good people, I have tried to be a good person, and many things I have done, but never that confidence that God has accepted me, that did not come. But the word which God justifies the wicked, that is what the word of God says. God does not justify the righteous, God is the one who justifies the wicked. So that is why we have confidence today, not just when we come on Sundays. What is the basis that we praise God or we worship you or do anything? The basis is not that last week I have been a very good saint, I have never sinned, I never fought with my wife, I had a good family life, I had everything perfect, that's why I'm coming here. No, the only basis I'm coming here is I know that Jesus has taken my sin and he has clothed me with his righteousness, and when I come before God, and there is not even a single sin which God remembers against me. So that is the confidence we have, that when God is looking at me today, he is smiling at me. He is looking at me like he is looking at Jesus. When he looks at me, when he looks at Jesus, he is saying, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So in the same manner, God is looking at me today and saying, "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So there is no, Lord is not looking at me in wrath, in anger, or in disappointment, or in discouragement that so many times I told you this child is not. No, that is all taken away because the righteousness of Christ is always there on me. It is not there just when I come here. It is there throughout the week. Even when the same chapter when we read in Romans 4, we read of example of Abraham in verse 17. So God had given a promise to Abraham that he would become a father of many nations. Many nations, yeah. So when at that time when God had given that promise, Abraham did not have a single child. And we read in verse 19, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In verse 20 it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in these verses we see that Abraham is now 99 years old, and if he would have decided that God has promised it, now I will try my best to be a good father, and I will try my best to become a father of many nations, he couldn't have achieved it. But here it says, he looked at the promise of God, and he was fully assured that God, who has promised, is able to complete that. He did not look at his faith, he did not look at his life, he did not look inside his body, he did not look at Sarah's body, he did not think that whether I am capable. He just looked at God, who has promised. So that is why he was fully convinced that God, who has promised, he is able to complete it. And that is what is written in verse 22. And therefore it was imputed for him for righteousness. So what is the first gift we receive when we are justified? So if I am justified today, that means the righteousness of God is on me. The first fruit of that, in verse chapter 5 verse 1, it says, being justified by God, we have peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So if I am justified, the main thing which I receive from God every day in my life is I have peace with God. I don't have anything between me and God. There is nothing. There is no shadow of doubt that God has accepted me. And there is so much peace that every day I can look at God and I can talk to him. There's nothing which hinders my fellowship. I don't have to be scared of going to God because God has justified me. And justification is more than just being forgiven. Because by being forgiven, it means that I am a very bad sinner, I am the worst sinner, but God has said, it's okay, I forgive you. But that is not all that God has done for me. God has forgiven my sins, and he has also made me righteous. That means not just I have all the sins which I have done, that has been forgiven. That means in my earlier years, I have done many sins that God has forgiven. But more than that, God has said that I am a righteous person, I am a saint, and it does not require 10 years to be justified. It just takes 1 second. What I have to do is, I just come to Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner, and I totally accept that. Not just half of my heart I say that, okay, I am a sinner somewhere, I must have gone wrong. But there is no, in Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 22 it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. So this is the main thing which has to come in my heart. If I have to be justified, there is no difference. So when I stand here, there is no difference between me and the greatest sinner in the world. If I know that from all my heart, ki the greatest sinner, the greatest prostitute, the greatest harlot, or the greatest terrorist, the greatest murderer, between him and between me, there is no difference. If I know, acknowledge that with all my heart, and the only thing that can save me from the hellfire, the only thing that can make me stand any day, even in 1,000 years, if I have to stand before God, the only thing that will help me to stand before God is that Jesus died on the cross and he took my sin and I can be justified. Only that is my hope. Only then I can be justified. May God help us.
Really praise God for this wonderful time, morning, which God has given to us. You know, one thing like what I was thinking this morning is God giving me the place of righteousness. You know, that is a biggest privilege which I get from God. In New Testament, when you know, Jesus is called, "This is my beloved son, I am well pleased." And how does God call us as we are chosen people? In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9 and 10, I'll read it in Hindi. "पर तुम एक चुना हुआ वंश और राज पद्धतारी याजकों का समाज." He says, royal priesthood, राजकों का समाज, "और पवित्र लोग और परमेश्वर की नीज प्रजा," which is very close to God's family, "इसीलिए कि जिसने तुम्हें अधिकार में से अपनी अद्भुत ज्योति में बुलाया है उसकी गुण प्रकट करो." The last verse of the last wording in Hindi, it is written, "उसके गुण प्रकट करो." That is something where God wants in my life, that I should reflect that, you know, the attitude of God, the thought of God through my life. उसका गुण प्रकट करो. And the level or the place what God has given to me, I should really be glad and rejoice over that, telling thank you to that place which is given. I am not fit for that. Verse 10 talks about the same thing. You read further, I'll read it in Hindi again. What we were before, "तुम पहले तो कुछ भी नहीं थे, पर अब परमेश्वर की प्रजा हो, तुम पर दया नहीं हुई थी, पर अब तुम पर दया हुई है." Before there was no grace at all. Now we have that grace. It is that place where God has given me and every one of us, where I should really understand and I should really respect and honor to that place. You know, He has given me and He has forgiven all my unrighteousness. Sab adharma, you can say, all unrighteousness He has forgiven, and He has given a place of righteousness, giving me a place very close to His heart. How much I should be, you know, respectful to Him in my day-to-day, every day in my walk. You know, at times, like in my house, how I live in with my wife or children. What is the attitude? Is that attitude what is written over here, that I am reflecting the attitude of God in my life? Am I reflecting that righteousness of God in my life? In the lost son's parable, you know, the son coming to his senses was a great revival in his life. Coming to his senses was not, you know, earlier he had everything in his hand. What he did not have, he had everything what he wanted he had, but at one point of time he just went away, you know, thinking that he was not happy in that house, or he wanted to find something better. But he landed up to a place where he didn't even think that he would land into that place, but then at one point of time he realized what state he was into, and there he decides that I'll go back to my father's house. You know, it's only there we have the joy, we have the peace. There's a song in my father's house, "Come and go with me to my father's house." There is joy and there is peace there. You know, that experience I need to have every day in my life. The more I get away, I'll be more unrighteous. I lose the righteousness of God. I lose that garment. It's like this garment what God has given to me is not like, you know, I wear it today and then I fold it, iron it, and keep it in the cupboard. Because many times I feel that is what we in our Christian life, we do that. Like the garment what we have, we nicely press it off, wash it and keep it in the cupboard. And other days we are a different person. And when it comes to a Sunday, like then again we wear that and we come up. The love is different, but when that garment is removed, the attitude is different. But God says over here, like, no, that I need to reflect that attitude of God every moment of my life. When I don't reflect that, that means I think so I have removed that garment and kept aside. In the olden times, in the Old Testament times, it was totally different. Even the priest used to be so holy. He had to go with sanctification in the presence to the holiest place. We read that in the New Testament part. And there it is written that the priest used to tie a chain to his leg so that due to his sin, if he dies, no one could enter. They had to pull him out with the chain. But that is not the state today for us. Really, it is, you know, to understand, you know, what is the righteousness we have to live in today's life. And I should not, you know, misinterpret or, you know, fill it with impurity. It is the seriousness what I live every day. So I really thank and I just pray that God helps us all that we live in this attitude.